Welcome to Convos from the Couch by LifeStance Health, where leading mental health professionals help guide you on your journey to a healthier, more fulfilling life. Hello, everyone. I'm Nicolette Lianza, and I'll be talking with Angel Kramer, and she'll be helping us to understand more about polyamory. So great, always to have you on, Angel.
Yes, thanks for having me back. I'm so excited.
Same here. So as we jump in, what is polyamory?
Ooh, that is a big question. And the answer to that is so wide and so varied and diverse. I don't know that we can do it solid justice in our short podcast today. Nonetheless, I'm going to try. And I would like to add just a little disclaimer that what you experience as poly does not look like or sound like what I am saying, that does not mean it is wrong.
Okay.
Because poly can be whatever we want it to be, as long as it hits the markers for some of the things we're going to talk about today.
Fair point.
So polyamory is nothing new. We have had some level of open, multiple relationships as long as humankind has been recorded. And I would imagine before that as well. For the term itself, polyamory as a term dates back to about the early 90s. Some of the first articles we started seeing this term pop up in. In a nutshell, it is a mixture of a Greek and Latin word. Poly being Greek for plural, amor being Latin for love. We put those together and we get polyamory, plural love. And ultimately, polyamory is having multiple relationships of some kind or another at once and having the ability to do that. I think having the ability is one of the important things for people to be aware of. It's okay to be monogamous. It's okay to not be geared towards polyamory, because there are some tendencies there that make it a little easier for some of us than it does for others.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it can look different from one person to another. What I might see as a polyamorous relationship, you might have a different view of it. Yours could look completely different from mine. As long as there is consent, there's communication, there is mutual respect, there are agreements in place, we can go with the flow.
Are there a lot of misconceptions about it?
There are a ton of misconceptions about polyamory. Probably because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see polyamory very much in the zeitgeist. We don't see it represented very often in the media. We don't have this prescribed narrative of what polyamory is. We do heteronormative, monogamous relationships. And with that comes all sorts of misconceptions. Because when something is different and not understood, people don't know what to think of it.
Very true.
People might think that, oh, you're in a polyamorous relationship because you're a cheater. You can't stay faithful to a partner.
Okay.
It could be that some misconceptions regarding ability to communicate, to love, to be vulnerable, and it's actually quite the opposite. Being able to be in a polyamorous relationship comes with a bigger level of vulnerability, a bigger level of communication, mm-hmm. and to some extent, sometimes even a bigger level of commitment, because we aren't balancing the needs of one partner, we're balancing the needs.
Fair point, yeah.
And sometimes it's also misconstrued as polygamy. And I think that is another important thing for us to differentiate between.
Good. Yeah, please.
Polygamy could fall under the umbrella of polyamory. However, polygamy, I guess first let's define polygamy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Polygamy is the concept of having multiple wives married to a single man. And those women are not necessarily and usually aren't in a relationship with one another.
Gotcha.
And typically, they have very little, if any, say in who the other partners are going to be.
Okay.
In that plural relationship. And they are usually separate, and it is all centered around that one single man. And a lot of times polygamy is religious based. Not always, but typically.
Okay.
Whereas polyamory, it can have all sorts of different setups, but there is consent, there's communication, there are agreements in place. It's not necessarily a hierarchy where the one person at the center is at the top. And that sets poly apart with the consent alone.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't anyone stepping on another person. There isn't anyone taking away rights. There isn't anyone necessarily cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Although cheating happens in any kind of relationship.
Therefore, yep.
Because cheating is simply the breaking of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, we have some spiritual, some religious misconceptions about polyamory. Thinking along the lines of some religious trauma words such as sinning, going against a higher power, things like that. That's not the prescribed relationship we are meant to be in certain religious sectors.
Are there different kinds or types?
There are so many different kinds. So many different kinds. I don't know that I could even list all of them, but we will go over some of the more common ones. For poly, one of the more well-known versions of polyamory is hierarchy polyamory. Right. Hierarchy polyamory is not the same kind of hierarchy as what we were just describing with polygamy.
Okay.
Typically with hierarchical poly, there is a primary partnership. This can be heteronormative in nature. It could be a gay, lesbian, non-binary. Any partnership can be at the center. And then there can be secondary relationships. These secondary relationships could be sexual in nature. They could be romantic in nature. They could be intimate in nature. It could just be a closer form of friendship.
Okay.
And then there might even be tertiary relationships beyond those secondary ones. And it could have the same kind of setup, only it goes down in ranking. Your primary partner is your primary one. Your secondary one comes second, and your tertiary one comes third.
And that's where the hierarchy comes in.
And that's where the hierarchy comes in. There's that primary relationship at the center, at the core of the hierarchical polycules. And sometimes those metamors know one another. Sometimes they might not.
Okay.
I should take a step back. I'm assuming people already know the lingo. A metamor is what we refer to as the partners.
Okay.
Of a primary partner.
Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome. And we call those metamors. And sometimes they know one another, sometimes they don't. It all depends on what agreements you have in place for that.
Okay.
There's also non-hierarchical polyamory. And this could have a relationship in it. It could just be a single solo person having multiple relationships that are separate from one another. Still consenting. Still communication, but those metamors might not be in communication with one another, and there isn't necessarily a primary relationship at its core. This might look a little bit more like someone dating multiple people at once, and everyone is consenting to those multiple relationships. Sometimes this is also called solo poly. There's also a thing called parallel polyamory. This is where we have multiple partners together.
Okay.
Trying to think of an example to word that a little bit differently to break it down for people. There is typically a couple at the center, and then that couple is dating others, but it is mutually exclusive.
Okay.
In that relationship, those parallel partners might be aware of one another. They might be in communication and known metamors. They might not be. There is also something called kitchen table polyamory.
And this one is a little
different from other ones in that the metamors all come together. Everyone who is involved in this group meet up at the kitchen table.
Oh, okay.
Everyone has a say at the kitchen table.
Okay.
So if they are reviewing rules, if they're reviewing agreements and boundaries, everyone is reviewing it together, whether it's primary partner, your secondary partner, someone you dated last week, a metamor, your partner's metamors, whoever it might be. Everyone has a say in what this is and what occurs. There's also poly fidelity. And this is where there are more than two people in a relationship together all at once. Sometimes we might refer to this as a triple instead of a couple. We might refer to it as a quad if there are four. And the terminology is different from couple to couple, from partnership to partnership, from polycule to polycule. So once again, if yours looks a little bit different, if I've not touched on what occurs for you, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that it is wrong.
You did a great job really taking us through. I actually didn't realize how many different types there were. And it sounds like there's even more than what you just described. So I think you did a great job concisely explaining to us the different types and how they work and everything. What are some of the benefits and challenges of polyamory?
Yeah, so polyamory, of course, comes with benefits. Otherwise, why would people do it? Why would it have been around in our history for as long as it has been? And we have this notion in monogamous relationships that our partners are everything and that they can and should fulfill all of those needs. And that's not necessarily the case. And sometimes spreading the love, as it were, that can help get some of those needs met. It can help us meet other people's needs, and it can help our partner's needs be met as well. That's not to say that is always the answer if your needs are not being met in a relationship. We'll get to that later, though. Some of the other benefits are that it is a good challenge. In some cases, it can force us to sit with our discomfort and hopefully grow through it.
Okay.
In particularly with jealousy, with some insecurities, because even if you are naturally geared towards polyamory, jealousy is a normal human emotion and it can still come up. Insecurities are a normal human emotion and they can still come up. But the difference here is most people who are trying to practice poly, they have to sit with it, which figure out how to be okay, how to heal that part of ourselves, figure out where it's coming from and what to do with it.
Is that where therapy might be helpful with that?
100%. I would recommend anyone who is already poly and having any kind of struggles, or anyone considering that maybe that's part of their identity, go see a therapist who works with polyamory and who has an understanding of it. So that way they can work with you through those things, either before they happen or as they're happening for you. This all happens in a monogamous relationship as well. Unfortunately, some of the language in the zeitgeist is that it is what it is, so that not everybody works through it. But with poly, in order for these to be successful, consenting, agreeable, satisfying relationships, we have to grow through that discomfort and those uncomfortable feelings that we might have.
Really like that you're emphasizing that. I don't think a lot of people recognize that. If you're coming to the table of not even understanding what polyamory is, we're explaining what it is, but also the next step of really how to push through some of these just typical human emotions of jealousy and insecurity and how to even sit with it and work through it, just like you said.
And that can involve changing up our communication, learning better communication. Also, not something particular to polyamory. We could all use some work on our communication.
Very true.
Except in poly, it is emphasized a little bit more. You don't have just one partner you might be disagreeing with or seeing things differently than they are. You have multiple. There is a community behind you that we are trying to be okay within. And that means being able to communicate, being able to express ourselves, being able to be vulnerable to do that. And that can be both a challenge and a benefit to polyamory.
Good point.
some of the other challenges might be the inverse of some of what we've been discussing. Having struggles with communication, not being able to express our emotions, what we're feeling, what we're going through, and not being willing to be vulnerable in those situations so we can grow through them. And in the majority of polyamorous relationships, that's needed and supported. Mm-hmm. And most partners are going to welcome that because everyone has a stake in this game. For time management, that's the challenge.
Oh, never thought of that. Okay.
Yeah. Because we're dividing ourselves between multiple people, all of whom we love or care about or enjoy the presence of on some level. And now we have to figure out how to divide that. We can't just go home from work and just be at home with our partners. Sometimes we have to make a conscious effort to plan out that time. And that can be both a struggle and a benefit. Definitely a struggle and a challenge at first, but it can be very beneficial down the line.
Okay. Any other takeaways you'd like to share?
I would like to throw out a handful of book recommendations.
Oh, that would be lovely.
I might want to look into this further. There are some amazing books out there that can be picked up that cover way more than we've been able to share in these last few minutes. Some of my favorite ones are Designer Relationship, and that is by Mark A. Michaels. There is another one called Polysecure. This is one that I encourage all of my clients to read when they are coming to me for polyamorous issues.
Okay.
Polysecure is by Jessica Fern. And then the third one is a book called More Than Two, and this one is by Franklin Bowe. The nice part about this one is it also has some workbooks that you could get as to go along with those books. All of them have amazing information. It can help you figure out what poly is going to look like for you, what it might look like for others, give you the language behind this so we know what's being experienced, what kind of roles and agreements we are setting up, what the expectations might have already been for other people. And if there's a term for it, that means it's normal because other people have experienced it. While it's not in zeitgeist, there is still plenty of information out there to help us figure this out, including therapists like myself who are well-versed in polyamory.
Gosh, Angel, as usual, thank you. You're always a wealth of knowledge. Thank you for sharing your insights on this topic as well.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
I'd also like to thank the team behind the podcast, Jason Caden, Juliana Whitten, and Chris Kelman. With a special thank you to Jason Clayton, who edits our episodes. Thank you for listening to Convos from the Couch. Take care, everyone.